You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with best-selling author and Hall of Fame professional speaker, Mr. Jim Cathcart, founder of Cathcart Institute Incorporated, a company that helps entrepreneurs to focus on their brand and grow their sales with increased confidence. Mr. Cathcart, a pleasure to have you with us today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
And you're most welcome. Really good to have you out today, and thanks for your time. So I understand you've risen to the top of your profession as a speaker and author. How is growing a personal service business different from a product-centric business?
Well, in growing a personal service business, you're kind of, you're promoting you, you know? You become the product, and you have to learn how to think of yourself objectively. You know, like when I entered the field of professional speaking back long ago, I had to make a decision. Am I going to create a company and call it Wonderful Leadership Incorporated or some kind of a made-up name like that? Or am I going to do like my colleague Zig Ziglar was doing and call it Zig Ziglar Corporation, you know, call mine Jim Cathcart? And I thought about that for a long time and talked to a lot of other people and decided to call it Cathcart Inc., Cathcart Incorporated. Cathcart Institute, Cathcart.com, et cetera, because I realized that if I was the product, then I had multiple responsibilities. One, I had to be a good guy. I had to be ethical. I had to be honest. I had to be very effective at what I did. So the pressure was on me to do a good job and to earn a good reputation. And at the same time, I had to do that without getting all full of myself and thinking, isn't Jim wonderful and isn't everybody else not? You know, that'll lead you to a very short career thinking like that.
You know, it sure will. And you made a lot of great points there. Thanks for sharing that in regards to branding yourself as a product. Now, you say there's a difference between writing a best-selling book and becoming a best-selling author. What do you mean by the differences there? And talk about that a little, if you would.
Well, I got that idea from my friend who sold more than 1 million books personally. I don't mean he's written a book that got on Amazon and sold 1 million. I mean, he personally sold 1 million of his books. And his name's Greg Godek. And his book's 1,001 Ways to Be Romantic. And he's a promoter extraordinaire. And he said, Jim, he said, too many people are trying to write best-selling books. And that's like catching lightning in a bottle. You can write a good book. You can make a book a bestseller for a few weeks by spending a lot of money and doing a lot of promotion. But to create a book that sticks on the bestseller charts, that's catching lightning in a bottle. It just happens or it doesn't happen. And he said, but I can teach anybody how to be a best-selling author. And I said, now, what does best-selling mean? He said, it means you sell 25,000 books or more, at least at the time he answered my question. That was the formula. And I said, okay. And what's a best-selling author? He said, it's somebody that's great for interviews. It's somebody who's punctual, timely, prepared, follows through. Somebody who is aggressively building and growing their own customer base and not depending on somebody else to do it. You know, the typical scenario for authors over the years has been the author writes the book and then the author goes home and waits for royalty checks. But today, with self-publishing being as big as traditional publishing, a whole lot of books that become international bestsellers start out as self-published books, and that used to be the curse of death. But now then the publishers want to see, are you going to make it a hit? Are you worth investing in? You know, okay, your book's good, but are you worth investing in? So if you think of your business that way, whether you're an author or whether you're doing cabinet refinishing, doesn't matter. If you've got a personal service business, think of being the equivalent of a best-selling author in your field. Who are the people that everybody else says, boy, if only I could get someone like that. Be like those people.
Awesome information. Good stuff there. Now, with 3,100 plus speaking engagements all the world, what have you observed about businesses that are successful long term?
Well, the thing, you know, 3,100 engagements over 40 plus years of professional speaking and going all over the world, I've spoken for everything from Harley Davidson to the Association of Wiping Cloth Manufacturers. I have spoken for the Asphalt Paving Association and for the American Bankers Association. I've spoken to the, you know, biggest corporations on earth and some of the little startups and the franchise operations and multi-level marketers. So I've been exposed to just about everybody you can imagine over all those years and all those engagements. And what I've found is that the ones that focus on process are the ones that get bogged down and have a short lifespan. And the ones that focus on purpose, the reason, you know, their why, as some people say, their big reason for coming to work in the morning, the ones that are purpose-driven tend to endure for a long time. If you look at Apple Computer, when they started out, Steve and Steve, you know, Jobs and Wozniak, they weren't trying to build good computers. They were trying to build tools to help people live more effectively doing the things that computerized things do. They were looking for a way to make people more effective. And for the longest time, the difference between PC or the Windows world and the Macintosh or Apple world was if you took a PC in for repair, they would focus on the computer and find out how it works, and then they'd make it work again. If you took an Apple in for repair, they would say, before we look at your computer, tell me what you're trying to accomplish and where you're frustrated. In other words, they'd fix the customer and then the computer, whereas the others would fix the computer and not worry so much about the customer. And that was a long time ago. That's not true across the board today, because with all the different things that have grown over the last few years, that playing field is much more level, and everybody gets it that it's about you and me, the buyer, not about the machines we use.
3,100 events is quite the number of events, and I'm sure you've seen a lot and learned a lot, and thanks for sharing some of what you've seen out there around the world today. We're joined by Mr. Jim Cathcart, the founder of Cathcart Institute, Inc., a company that helps entrepreneurs to focus their brand and grow their sales with increased confidence here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you're the original author and champion of relationship selling. How's that different from traditional selling?
Well, relationship selling, a lot of people try to separate the words, and they say, well, this is about being nice to people. No, that's something that's a good idea for everybody, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is seeing a relationship, a human connection, as an asset and managing it accordingly. In other words, every person you make contact with, using relationship selling as your sales philosophy, you consider each contact the beginning or the continuation of a relationship. Now, let's define what a relationship is. A relationship is a direct connection between people in which value is exchanged. So that value may be friendship and support and encouragement, or it may be money, it may be opening doors for you, it could be anything, but it has to be valuable to the recipient, and your product or service has to be valuable to the other person as well. So a relationship is a direct connection between people in which value is exchanged, and if you see it that way, then you look at every contact you make as a step along the continuum from a mere transaction to a full-on partnership in business. And every customer you've got is at some stage in that cycle of life, so to speak. So in relationship selling, you look at each of those stages and you ask, okay, what could I do to make this customer feel that they're getting even more value at this stage in the relationship, even if they haven't bought from me yet? And even if they bought from me and aren't likely to buy again, but they're an ongoing owner of whatever it is I sell. So looking at it that way, you become a relationship nurturer and you cultivate some pretty powerful connection assets that lead to lots of open doors and referrals and repeat sales and, you know, cross-selling, upselling, and reselling and everything else you can imagine.
Now, Jim, people often spend a day with you at your California home base, and that is quite an opportunity, I'd say. What's that all about? Talk to us about some of those details.
When people come out here to spend a day with me, they want personal coaching. They want my advice, my input, my personal business friendship, so to speak. And I recently had a client come from San Diego, and he came to Thousand Oaks, California, where my office is. And we got together in the morning and had a long breakfast and talked about his goals and his areas of concern. And then we went for a long walk around the lake here at Westlake Village, California, and talked through a lot of different strategies and stopped at a branch of the California Lutheran University's School of Management, which is called their Center for Entrepreneurship. Its official title is Hub 101 because it's near the 101 freeway. And I'm the entrepreneur in residence at Cal Lutheran. So we went in there and commandeered a classroom, and I outlined a whole bunch of strategies for my client. And then we took a break and give him some time to think about that. Then we got back together for lunch and then went for a drive around the area and talked through all the various options. And then that evening, after I gave him a couple hours to himself to reflect on everything we'd done, we had a long dinner conversation sitting by the lake under a beautiful starlit sky and talked about next steps and follow through. And then for the rest of the month, I made sure I was available to him for text messages, quick phone calls, emails, things like that. And it made a powerful difference for him. So that's a typical scenario.
Jim, it has been great to have had you with us today. A lot that we can learn from some of the information shared and from your expertise as well. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a final tip, anything else you'd like to share?
I would just suggest people go to Cathcart.com and explore, because I've got 730 pages of free resources, videos, articles, all kinds of things. And I'd love to have the folks just explore that and find what's valuable for them.
Good enough. Again, it is Cathcart.com. Mr. Cathcart, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly appreciated your time today.
It was a treat for me, Eric. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Mr. Jim Cathcart, the founder of Cathcart Institute, Inc., a company that helps entrepreneurs to focus on their brand and grow their sales with increased confidence. And for further details, once again, it's Cathcart.com. All links will be included within the show notes of this broadcast. Again, this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.